It was relief and thankfulness that I had an answer, that it wasn't just that I was a crappy human being. I mean, yes.
Welcome to Motherhood in ADHD. I'm your friend, Patricia Sun. My mission is to be a lighthouse for mothers with ADHD, helping you find your path to success by learning to appreciate your ADHD as an asset. I'm seeking to change the paradigm that ADHD means your life is doomed to be a hot mess. So I'm sharing strategies and encouraging you in your pursuit of happiness to love who you are every day of your ADHD life. Hey there, successful mama. It's your friend, Patricia Sung. Welcome to March Mama Madness. This month, we're mixing it up as we feature successful mamas, all of whom have ADHD. In the first episode, each of these beautiful women will share their ADHD story with you. And while each lady is different, I know that parts of every story will resonate in your heart as we share in both her pain and the triumphs of living with ADHD. Each of these women also has a heart for the ADHD community. As we dive into our self-care series, each mama will share with us in the second episode an area of self-care that we can use to take care of our ADHD brain, body, and soul. Because taking care of yourself is a basic requirement of living, like food and water, not a luxury item. I cannot wait for you to not only learn what gives you energy, but know wholeheartedly that it is totally doable that when we make it ADHD friendly, we can take care of ourselves well. We're starting with simplicity, baby steps, and we're aiming for progress over perfection. Self-care can and must be done in every stage of motherhood. Get ready. Let's figure out what self-care truly fits you. You are worthy, you are valuable, and you are not alone. Come on, meet this successful ADHD mama. Our guest this week is Anna Rubano of Intune with Anna K. Anna is another one of my OG ADHD Instagram connections, and I so appreciate that she is not pushing the diet culture. Instead, she guides women on how to work on our physical health with a big picture view, not nitpicking the details, which is a great match for our ADHD brains. Anna is a holistic health coach, helping women integrate whole health into their lives, looking beyond just healthy food choices to what is happening off the plate and in your life as well. She found her diagnosis in the process of her son's ADHD diagnosis, which is a very common way that mothers begin to search for their own answers. Anna is open and vulnerable and honest, and I teared up more than once during our chat. Her words touched me so deeply, and I cannot wait for you to hear Anna's story. Let's jump in. Let's welcome Anna to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So we're going to jump right into the big questions. Tell me about your diagnosis story. Like, how did you even think I probably need to look into this?
The story is not without being able to speak about my son. It was my son having ADHD and being diagnosed at a very young age that led me down the rabbit hole of researching what this whole diagnosis was about. Even as a newborn, we could tell that, you know, he was a little different than other babies, and I can get into that later, but he was diagnosed at age, I think, 3. And after a couple of years, you know, I decided to look into it, and I learned that it was hereditary. And when I surveyed myself and my husband, it seemed to me to be the most likely candidate with ADHD. So I went on a very long journey, of, you know, what that looks like and what ADHD in women looks like. And then finally getting my formal diagnosis, even though I had already self-diagnosed myself prior to this, I got my formal diagnosis in the summer of 2019. So, wow.
So you're a new baby.
I'm a new baby, but I feel like I have been reading about this and learning about it for years before I came out officially with my ADHD diagnosis. Diagnosis was more like, hey, I'm right about this. Mm-hmm. Like it was my validation, that piece of paper basically saying, you know, telling me and everybody else that I was right, that there was something not right. And it turned out to be this.
So when you got that validation, what other feelings were going through your mind and your heart besides just that, like, ha ha, I got it. Like, what else was going through your mind?
Well, I have to tell you, when I first started to go down the, like I said, the rabbit hole of research and reading into what ADHD looks like in young girls and in women, I mourned deeply because it explained my entire childhood. It explained my struggles in school. It explained so much of my life that I had never understood. And I had felt such shame that it was a relief to know that there was an explanation, but there was also that sadness that I had, you know, lost this time in a way where I could have been living informed, but I hadn't been. And what could have been, the could haves in all those things. You know, you go through this period of mourning and regret and so many feelings at once, but then still at the end of it, it was relief and thankfulness that I had an answer, that it wasn't just that I was a crappy human being. I mean, you know, to put that separately, it was, there was so much weight to that diagnosis, but it was freedom from all the things that I had felt growing up and all the things I couldn't understand and all the judgment from everybody, including family as well as friends, and everybody having their opinion about you. It was just so eye-opening.
How did you deal with all those could haves that obviously are never going to come to fruition? How do you work through that?
I think of it as everything has its purpose. Whatever God meant for it, you know, yes, my story turns out that I find out late in life that I have ADHD, but because of my son's journey, I get to be a better parent to him now that I know, you know, as opposed to living a whole life never knowing, because I come into contact with people daily who my little flag goes off. I'm like, I wonder. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going out there diagnosing people, but it's right.
But you know your people.
And you recognize them. And your whole life feeling one way and then finding out that, you know, guess what? This is what this is. Yes, there's a mourning, but then you have to let it go because there is nothing you can do about it. We can't change the past. We can't change the decisions we made, good, bad, or indifferent. And it's a part of the grieving process. And a part of the grieving process was acceptance. This is how my life turned out. This is what happened in the past. And now I get to move forward. I get to know and I get to learn. I have another chance to do life differently now as an informed individual instead of somebody blindly trying to figure my way out through this whole journey of life.
Hey there, successful mama. Are you as time blind as I am? The solution is here. No more, I was supposed to be somewhere 20 minutes ago. Panic on the daily. If you're a double booker or an appointment forgetter, I can help. Do you know why you can't keep track of it all? Because you either don't have the skills or you don't have the system. Likely both. Keeping a calendar is a basic life skill that many of us never learned. Why? Because either no one taught us or they taught us in a way that didn't make sense to our ADHD brains. Let's change that. I hate watching you struggle on life skills that are learnable. Remember, you are not doomed to be a hot mess. Feeling confident and prepared is doable. Keeping up with a calendar can be attainable. I want to give you a basic system that works for your life and then help you develop a plan to actually keep up with the system. I know that you are ready to build calm and peace into your day by knowing where you need to be and when. My class on how to keep a calendar when you have ADHD is available for pre-sale now. Woohoo! And for you, my successful mama, I'm offering a little something special to you for being the first one in. So head over to patriciasung.com/ADHD calendar, that's all one word, and sign up now to guarantee your discount before the price goes up when the doors open. You are not alone, and I'm here to help you create the motherhood success story that you deserve. Progress over perfection. Let's move forward. Stop the chaos and sign up for class right now. patriciasung.com/ADHD calendar. So how do you feel like you do things differently now that you know?
Well, now I understand my response to things, where before, again, there was such a shame and a disappointment and being so hard on myself. Being hard on myself almost was part of my daily thought pattern. It was just, mm-hmm. it was always there. It's how I spoke to myself. Oh, yeah, Anna, look what you did now. Mm-hmm. Oh, this and this and this. You know, there wasn't a lot of positive reinforcement going on in any voice right. in my heart. So now I can understand what I need, why I respond the way I do, and give myself a heck of a lot more grace and change the voice in my head. It's more loving, it's more accepting, mm-hmm. and it doesn't also have this pressure where I have to do all these things to equal being a decent human or a great mom or a great wife or, you know, fill in the blank. I know now what my bandwidth looks like. I know mm-hmm. what is healthy for me, what my boundaries are. And I continue to work on that. And I think the process of that, because I'm still learning, has made such a difference in how I respond to everything in life, as opposed to how I looked at things before. I hope I answered that well.
No, that was beautiful.
Okay.
It's amazing to hear you speak so clearly on that, because I feel the exact same way. My inner voice was so critical, and my coping mechanism of choice is perfectionism. So I, oh, you too, shocking.
Yep.
you know, that learning to be okay with good enough is a really hard obstacle to overcome when you spent your entire childhood thinking that you had to check things 15 times in order to get even close to what everybody else could do with one once through of their paper. So it is a journey to change that inner voice to not be so critical. And sometimes I wonder, like, can I change my own inner voice? Like, is it so ingrained in who I am that I don't have an option, or do I have the choice? And it took a long time to get to the point where I realized I had control over that. I could modify the thoughts that I was telling myself and that inner monologue, but it takes a lot of work and a lot of therapy, but a lot of effort on your part is that as soon as you start hearing yourself running down that usual trail to say, no, it's okay. I didn't do that on purpose. I didn't purposely forget to do the thing or purposely leave it at home. It was a mistake. I will adjust. I will fix what I can. I will try to do it better or differently or whatever next time. But having that, you know, forgiveness with yourself is just.
Yes. That word right there, the forgiveness. We can be so much easier on others than we are to ourselves.
Yes. Yes.
Especially us ADHD mamas, what goes on in our brains, the thought patterns, the inner voice, how we've gotten so used to, I mean, I know I did, got so used to tearing myself down. Mm-hmm. And when other people point out, it doesn't have to be perfect, I would look at them like, I'm not a perfectionist. What are you talking about? Like, I couldn't even see it. But it was there glaring at me. I was trying to achieve impossible things, not knowing that I was trying to achieve impossible things, which was an impossible way to live, which led to what I believe a lot of the health issues that I struggled with during my lifetime because of these standards, these impossible standards, the inner critic mm-hmm. and all of that, and learning to have forgiveness for oneself. It's a lot of work. Like you said, it takes a long time. It's not automatic. You've been playing an old tape in your head for a while, and it takes intentionality for sure.
When you think about your motherhood and ADHD, where do you feel like you see it the most?
Oh, God. You know, whenever I talk about being a mother, I could feel the emotion well up inside of me every single time.
I know. I was like, no, please. I wasn't trying to make you cry. I mean, you can cry if you want. I'm a crier, but I'm like, oh.
So am I. No, I think it's good because I think I've spent a good part of my lifetime stuffing those feelings down. So whenever I feel the rush, it's good. I welcome it. So if I cry, fantastic. I knew something was wrong in my mothering. From a very, like, I knew it wasn't like the other moms. Mm-hmm. Why was I not more patient? Why did everything seem to assault my sensors? And I didn't know it was my sensory system that was being assaulted. I just felt like there was just one too many things that was coming at me, and finally just lost my stuff. And this would be coming like when everything was perfect with my quote unquote, perfect with my eating. I thought like everything, I was taking care of business. Okay. For every, to my body and what I was putting in it, but that was still missing something. And when I would compare myself to the other mothers who seemed to just have it together and calmer and no, this is just the way it is and everything's fine. And I'm like, how do you people do it? And I would feel such guilt. I would feel such tremendous guilt and such a failure. And I didn't even realize, not only did I have this ADHD that I didn't know I was dealing with, but my firstborn had ADHD and a whole, you know, gambit of things that we were dealing with that I didn't even know. I mean, I remember friends babysitting him and just saying to me, oh, he's a tough little man. You know what I mean? Like when they would watch him for me, because everything was so much and we didn't know. So it was not a good way to start motherhood for me. I did not feel like I was the best choice. And I would often question God and say, you know, there are plenty of other women out there who would be great at this. And I'm not. So from that thinking, I've had to transition once learning about my ADHD and seeing how it affects me now. Now my kids are 10 and 6. And they're amazing, but they're a lot of work. and my son, you know, his ADHD is still there. Doesn't go away, as some people seem to believe.
and they do. So, they still believe it. I'm not quite sure how, but they do.
I don't know. It's, I mean, that's for another podcast. But,
another can of worms.
Exactly. But it's my response to him and it's my response to them. And I've had to become very good at identifying when I'm being impatient, identifying when I'm stressed. They see it in me. My son knows. He's like, Mom, are you stressed? I'm like, why, babe? Because you're, you know, a little, what he's trying to say is you're yelling a little bit more. You're a bit more impatient. You're reacting. You know, he doesn't always have the words, but I know exactly what he means. Yes. When he says, Mama, are you stressed? That means I need to pull back and I need to look at what I'm doing and how I'm responding to things. And we're talking, we're not talking like out of the order. We're talking about like, why is the house a mess? Why are like there crumbs from here to eternity? Why all the homework assignments spread across my eating, you know, table, things like that. If I'm losing my stuff over things like that, I know that it's more going on.
Yeah.
And I know that I need to check in with myself. And it, depending on the time of day, he could be whistling and I'll be like, okay, I can't handle the whistling right now. It's just too much for my sensory system. And I'll say these words. I'm like, it's too much for me, buddy. I'm like, I'm sorry. You're doing a great job whistling. Like you've taught yourself how to whistle. It's awesome. But right now, Mama can't handle it. And, you know, he'll stop. Or if I'm really having a hard time, I go to my room and I get some quiet time in. But I've definitely seen how it affects how I mother, how it affects them and how I respond to them and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And then again, having to tame that inner critic and not want to go in the corner and flog myself for being the worst mother in the world. So yeah, motherhood and ADHD is challenging for sure.
It is. So on the flip side, where do you see somewhere where your ADHD is a strength in the way that you interact with your kids and the way that you run your family?
I think, you know, and I wasn't really sure if this was my ADHD, but the more I read about it, I was listening to your podcast and you're talking about the ability to read a room or the ability to read a situation. For the most part, I've always been very good at that. Mm-hmm. My little knower goes off when something's happening and it's something subtle that I don't always pick up. Most of the time I pick things up that I don't think other people pick up. And believe me, there are times when I am totally clueless. It always baffles me because, you know,
why can I pick up that and not this?
Exactly. But for the most part, there's like this intuitiveness. There's this ability to be very empathetic and compassionate. And it's funny, I can catch certain details of our situation or if something's been said a certain way, or I catch a response or a reaction from my child, and I can catch right then and there, ooh, you know, what I just said, it didn't sit well with them. So let me follow up right now and not just leave it.
Yeah.
That's been a strength that I've seen. I think the resilience alone, I mean, living undiagnosed for practically my whole life has to be a testimony of resilience in itself. Creativity. You know, it's funny. I'm a musician and I'm a songwriter and I write music. And I would have never thought myself to put myself in the creative box, because to me, that was always such a part of myself that I didn't think, like, when I thought creative, I thought about the mamas who are like on Pinterest and doing all these fancy things or crafty and could draw or like anything else. It was not me. But I learned that my brain, because I have to think on the fly a lot for various situations, especially I teach music. And a lot of the time I have to change the game plan. And I see how quick my brain can just adjust to that. And I'm impressed by myself sometimes. I'm impressed by my own brain. I didn't know I could do things like that, but I can. And it was recognizing the ability of that creativity and seeing creativity come in all different forms that it really started to take form for me what ADHD can look like in positive. Multitasking. I know that a lot of us, when it comes to, you know, juggling all the plates, it's overwhelming. And yes, I will be the first one to tell you I'm a tornado, but you know what? I get it done. And for me, that's still a positive, because despite what the tornado might have, the side effects of that tornado, I'm still getting things done in a shorter amount of time when I have to. So I don't always look at those things as a negative. I just say, okay, this is who I am. This is what my ADHD looks like. I do all the things, I get it done. And then I just have to make sure I carve the time to breathe. But again, creativity, resilience, the ability to connect. I think ADHD women want a deeper connection. And I've actually been told by people, your problem is that you can't have a frivolous friendship. You want deep, you want connection. And, you know, for a while I felt shame about that, because it was just so hard to get along with people just, you know, with the chit chat and, you know,
I hate chit chat.
Oh, you know, because I want a connection. I want to meet you where you're at. I want to understand, you know, so for me, I think that's a positive. I think that's a positive. People want to live their lives in chit chat and do all that. That's great. But I find beauty in that connection, in that deeper way that we can see through things, through the layers that maybe other people don't. So, you know, it's not something that I really think about. I'll be honest with you. I don't sit back and be like, well, you know, it took me time to really think at some point, how has my ADHD been a positive? Because with the bad that I didn't know was quote unquote the struggles, there was also the positives that I just chalked up to, hey, that's just who I am. And that's part of the Anna personality. But when you break it apart and you look at it and you see how you've changed and you've grown over your lifetime, you see how it's been modified and it's changed. And it's actually quite beautiful. So I love my brain, actually. I used to not love it, but now I really am thankful for it, for all of its unique ways of dealing with life.
Mama, we're going to pause there. Make sure that you hit the subscribe button so that part two of our conversation with Anna shows up on your phone right away. When we discuss self-care, using food as fuel to nourish our bodies, overcoming our ADHD waffling tendencies, and how keeping it simple and taking it slow, you know I love baby steps, is the way to make long-lasting change in our health and how we take care of our bodies and minds. Talk to you soon, successful mama. Thank you for listening to Motherhood in ADHD. For more resources, head over to our website, www.motherhoodinadhd.com.